before I start, I'll mention that whoever's interested, tomorrow, the shiurs are going to be earlier. Fortunately, unfortunately, I have to go back to Eretz Yisrael, and the shiur is going to be at 6 o'clock, which the nafkamina is that maybe if anybody would like, there'll be a mincha here at 5:45. I see it's not mitzuyin, but if it works out, for everybody's coming, there'll be a mincha at 5:45, for those that are able to come. The shiur is Le'ilu Nishmas, Rav Avraham Aaron, Ben Rav Chaim Afrayim. The sugya of unknown business halachas. I think what's more important to discuss first is why are they unknown? Why are these halachas unknown? What's up, Shad? We know when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, there's a gross awareness and shiurim given about Hilchos Shabbos, kashrus. Everybody at one point in his life hears shiurim about the different inyanim of basa b'chalav, the basic things, sometimes even a little bit less basic and whatnot. Yet when it comes for some reason to the halachas, the business halachas, which is really the day-to-day life of anybody in the world of business, whether it's ribbis, whether it's the sisun, the halachas of schar and schar of apoyel, the worker himself, paying the worker, etc. Bar mitzvah, things that come up constantly. How is it that they're unknown? I was trying to figure out what's the pshat taka. And we know that, especially in the last years, in the last 10 years, it's been a major, major surge of shiurim all around. So you look around on any of these websites that give shiurim and whatnot, you're not going to find too many on business. And it's a pella. Mamash Pella, who's the Avada Shabbos is something that a person learned. He was a bacher. He opened the Mishnah Berurah. He learned Hilchos Brachos. He learned they have all the wonderful svarim out there. He goes to a shir once a week on Hilchos Shabbos. Business is something that he does every day, all day. And there's not too many shirim on business. What's the pshat? I'll tell you pshat like this. It's a very unfortunate answer. It's a very, very sure answer. The answer is because when it comes to business, there's no shaitas. There's no shaitas. Because most people, they think like this. What's business halacha based on? What's halacha? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a very, very erlicha being. Very, very erlich. Yeah. And Avada, I'm just like him. Avada. And his system of laws of making in business is obviously based on erlichkeit and honesty. And the entire system is just based on whatever's honest and whatever's the right thing to do. That's probably the system. Right? In other words, most people have reduced the Ribbono Shel Olam's Halakha Torah, which includes 428 simanim in Chosh and Mishpat that the Ksais and the Netzivis write on. We know that the Ksais is on Chosh and Mishpat, and the Netzivis is on Chosh and Mishpat, and the Shach and the greatest of our Achrayim felt the necessity to write pages and pages and pages, tens and hundreds of pages, and the Shver's Dalochas. Whether it's the Babas, the Baba Kama, the Baba Metzia, the Baba Basra, which we know that's where the Seichel of Torah lies. That's the heart, that's the Shverkeit of Torah. Chazal tell us, Haroitzel Hachim, if he wants to become a Chochem, he wants to delve into the Chochem of Torah, he should learn the Babas, the Baba Kama, the Baba Metzia, he should learn Cheshin Mishpat. So we know that's where Chochem HaTorah is. But when a person comes, he has a shaila, so his first reaction is, yeah, Beseda, I know it's the right thing. Obviously, I just have to be honest and not to lie, not to cheat and not to steal. Right, so basically he took all of that 428 simanim of Shulchan Aruch and all those hundreds of blatim of Gemara, and he said, yeah, I know what they're going to say. I know what they're going to say. I know what the Ksais is going to say over here. There's no Shaila, because I'm also an honest person. Isn't that Stama a terrible tayis? It's a terrible tayis. That means that all of the Ksaisim and all of the Nesivisim, we don't need them, because everybody, and not only that, where does your knowledge of what integrity and honesty and etc. comes from? It comes from the Goyish Velt. Because if you didn't learn the Ksais, if you didn't learn the Chosh and Mishpat, and you don't know where the siman is in Shulchan Aruch for paying your workers on time, etc., etc., or if you don't know where the siman in Chosh and Mishpat for ribbis is, agav, it's not in Chosh and Mishpat, it's in Yerudeya. Right? So if you don't know where the siman, the simanim about ribbis are in Yerudeya, so then you're going to have a problem, because Maisa, we're saimich on you. Who are we going to be saimich on? And a person that. So that's why it's extremely, extremely important, in my opinion, the root cause of this, the name of the shiur, the unknown business halachas. It shouldn't be unknown. And the emes is that this is what really prompts, unfortunately, a lot of times you hear somebody goes to Beis Din, I'm always misspoiled. Two people come in front of me at the entire, and they're vaday right. How do I know they're vaday right? Because each one is saying, I'm vaday right. Right? He's vaday right, and he's vaday right. And they would say with such conviction, where's it coming from? From where's it Naveya? Does he learn Ksais? Does he know Baba Metzia? Does he know Baba Kat? Where's it Naveya from? the answer is again, because he created a system of what's integrity and honesty, etc. And that avada, the Ribbono Shel Olam, is going to shtel to that system, and certainly the Beis Din should also. Mamela, he walks out of the Beis Din, but he finds out that the Ksais held not like him, Kanira, because the Dayan Paskin not like him, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskin not like him, and the Shach Paskin is not like him. So what does he say? So the Beis Din's corrupt, because it's impossible that the Shach is wrong. That we know. And it's also impossible that I'm wrong, because I'm an honest person. I'm not a ganav. So Mamela, the Shach's not wrong, and I'm not wrong. So who's wrong? So the Dayan. He's a corrupt Rasha. It's much simpler that way. It's much simpler. So that's why I think, very important, extremely important, to get the real definition of Torah Tikkei Erlichkeit. Torah Tikkei Erlichkeit. The emphasis is, it goes without saying, that everything I'm going to discuss today, unfortunately, the big problem when you give a shiur about Basa B'chal of Shabbos, so it's Nishka Erlich. A guy walks out, he goes and he baskins for himself. Okay, hopefully the person who spoke in the shiur, he said something Erlich, and hopefully the people are listening right. You do what you can. Hopefully he walked into the shiur, he heard the Rav say this, and hopefully he gets it right. Hopefully. Halavai. When it comes to Chayshin Mishpat, it's a little bit different. He comes into Chayshin Mishpat, he listens to a shiur. What is he hearing? He's hearing, Yenim's wrong, Yenim's wrong, Yenim's wrong, Yenim's wrong, Yenim's wrong. He's chayiv to me, he's chayiv. So then, even if you are hearing that, you still can't paskin. When it comes to Kashrut, it comes to Shabbos, if you know the halacha, you can paskin fasich. You can paskin for yourself. But when it comes to Chayshin Mishpat, you're not even allowed to. There's a very big story from the Ksav Sefer brings down from the Sma. At the Bekant the Maisa, the Sma was had a detour with somebody, but it was in the town where the Sma was the Rav of the town. So the Sma said that it's pasnish that they're going to go and make a detour over here. Who's going to paskin against the Sma? The Sma is the king of Chayshin Mishpat. He's the Sma. The Sma is on the side of the Sefer in Chayshin Mishpat. So they're going to go and paskin against him. So he said to the person, let's go to a different shtar. You know, in those days they didn't have Kain Bana Rabbanim and all the pictures and those. So he went incognito, he went to an Andrew Shtetl. They went there, they had the detour. So after the Dayan paskin, not like the Sma. So he told the Sma, the Sma said he's makabel the dintayr of the gamre. He says he wants to be able now to say his tzad. Just want to say what my tzad was. I'm makabel the gamre. Ksav Sofer brings the story. I think it's in Siman Kof Tes, he brings the story. He says that, so he tells him his svara, why the Sma thought he was right. After he finished, the Dayan said, you should know it's exactly right for what also. I thought Mamish exactly like that, the exact same svara. He said, but man asked, what can I do? There's a new Sefer that came out a few months ago called the Sma. The Sefer on Chayshin Mishpat. Right? That Sefer over there, he has this kimat, this case, he says that svar, and he proves it wrong from here and there and everywhere. So the Sma had such a no when he heard this. He said, you see that a person is chad bin Yosef. The Sma was a Halik Yid, Mustamma. You can't imagine the Kedusha of the Halik Sma. The Sma would be here right now, we would die in the spot from the Kedusha of the Sma. But Afal Pike, when it came to the Nagiya, Nagiya is a Nagiya. The Gemara Ksuda says, he's shoy chad bin Yosef. It's a mitzvah. It's a reality. It's not as possible. You can't pass in your own child. So what you're hearing today, and there the Dhamma I gave on Friday, on Shabbos, in the shiur I gave, I said that, unfortunately, those shaylas were very, very intricate. You can't pass it based on what I'm going to say today. And simply because I'm giving you every nuance can change, and here, it's a double nuance. The cases have nuances, plus there's a second party involved. But at least you have to know what the shaylas are involved, and we'll try to, at least as many shaylas as we can get to. We're also a little bit of a bal chayv. Klape, a previous time that we spoke in, previous we spoke a little bit about business, we spoke a little bit about ribbis, and at the time I spoke out, I said I'm going to say some shilas, I didn't say too many eights, now maybe I said a little bit more eights, etc. It's also based on different things that after that shiur, people came back to me to discuss with me, but this is sugya, Rabbi Yisai, after this is very, very chashu, very, very important. It's not stam important sugya, it's one of the intricate sugyas. It's business halacha, is something that's the side of our everyday life. This is something of our everyday life, but more so, is that, like I said before, The Shulchan Aruch and Siman Chavav says something in Chayshin Mishpat, with my knowledge, has come out the strongest statement in all 1,075 Siman Shulchan Aruch. It says the person that takes someone to a Goyish court, he's aimed like Chaylik B'Toyrus Moshe. That's the Lashon there. That's Punkt Lachab, Zaza Lashon. He takes someone to a Goyish court, I'm not talking where he has a head there, whatever. You know, there's a lot of people, they like throwing around statements, cliches. Goyish cliches. Ah, yeah, the Rabbanim, they all say, yeah, go to the Goyish court, because that's what the Shulchan Aruch was talking about. And if the person has a certain case, he has to go to a Rav, and if the Rav gives him a heter, go to Goyish court, and if the Rav's are fine, it's good, because then but to go, a lot of people, they hear stories like that, and he says, oh, as a male, they give a terim, I could also go, and what's he really basically saying? He's basically saying that there's no emes found in our Torah. Our Torah, our Chayish and Mishpat, our justice system, our laws, our this, that's a vada, that's just, you know, suggestions. You want emes, you want justice, you go to the Goyish. That's why the Shulchan Aruch says that strong statement. Rabbi said, to my knowledge, you don't have statements like that. Ein lechelam b'tayrus Moshe. It's not one of us. It's not one of us. You don't see such lashon. That's why it's extremely important to have this limud. Not just this shir. There should be other shirim. There should be a Hesiris. There's books out that are now out. There's English books out. There's art school books that are out. People should read these books. They should read these songs. So let's go Keseder. Again, I have, like I mentioned last time, I have a lot of different topics. Bez Hashem, we'll give shirim specifically on each separate topic. But today I want to give a little bit of a I guess it's Iris in this Indian that our Hayde Ketayu is Chayvikayim. Our Hayde Ketayu Mishpat is a system of laws that's based on the Rebbeinu Shalom's understanding, not on what we consider honest and what we consider Geneva and what we can. And Rabbi Sai, what the system of developed nowadays, what they consider Erlich Kayt, we call Sheker and Geneva. So you have to keep it stark, you have to know strong what's Emes, what's that, what's Sheker, what's Halacha, what's not Halacha. And hopefully with that, Bez Hashem, with the Lima, that the Lima Alein you'll get Siyat and Tishma. So the first thing is I want to mention clapping what we spoke about Bishaitai about ribis. We spoke ribis or Baisai is like the Lashon of the Mesiel Sasharim. He doesn't have to give any hakadama. The Mesiel Sasharim says everybody's scared of ribis. He doesn't come back and say it's amazing. Chazal tell us a person who's called his malvib ribis. There's six lavim when it comes to ribis. The malv is over, the life is over, the malv could be over up to six lavim. There's the issa lifnei iver, anybody who helps is over. The secretary who shrives the actual document is over. The lawyer is over. Everybody's over, Abayis. If you're a doctor, you're over. Everybody's over. And, everybody has that pacha for ribis. Ribis is very serious. And in our society, ribis is rampant. It's not much rampant. I'll just give you an example. Yeah, because we know what's ribis. Ribis is that we think of this terrible person, Nebuch, this poor guy, he borrows $1,000 and now they're taking away his car, and they're taking away his roof, and they're taking away his wife, and they're taking away his children. And that's not the loan shark, and we think it's a terrible thing. Rabbi Sai, ribis is the most wonderful thing in the world. Ribis is the entire economic system that we're all a part of. Ribis is fair. Ribis is the most fair thing in the world. Money yields money. That's the basis of all of the whole entire economy. People, they give you the greatest yashar koich. Oh, thank you so much for that loan. I'm willing to pay you this and this amount for that loan. Which, well, that's why a lot of times in our minds, we don't think the ribis. We think ribis of that loan shark in that kafir. I'll give an example. There's certain words, I mentioned this last time, I'm trying to get to things that we didn't mention last time, but I have to push it, it's a mamish, it's a mitzvah farts and these things. There are certain things nowadays that are called investments. I regular the word, the person says the word investment. So in the Goyish world, the word investment, it doesn't sound like ribis, it's investment. Ribis means loan, right? If you translate it in English, it's loan, right? You say investment, it sounds like a wonderful thing. Adarabha, you're going to make money, investment's a wonderful thing, right? There's no such word investment, there's no such word loan. In halacha, there's one yisoid, and this is the yisoidis. Yisoid is liability and guarantee. Liability and guarantee. What that means basically, to make a very long story short, is that what's a loan? A loan means that if you give someone money, and your money is guaranteed that it's coming back to you, that's called a loan. The end. That means what we call a guarantee, what we call an investment. A lot of times a person finds out that they're going and they're buying a certain building in town, they're buying a this, they're buying a that, they're buying the 50 million things they're buying. So he has to get together a group, he has 10 people, this one's going to give him 100,000, another 100,000, another 100,000, and now with all that capital he's able to go, and excuse my English, you should all be Michael, invest. He invests. Now, there's a lot of people that it is an investment. Halacha think investment means that you might lose all your money. But somebody comes to me and says, look, I heard you're investing in a piece of real estate in over there. I want to get in. So I say, look, no problem. We can get in. We hope to make a return on our money of 50% and whatever. Give me $100,000. By the way, you might lose it all. Yeah, so that's about it. That's an investment. That's a pikadin in halacha. That's wonderful. It's a merit to kazach. And halavai, you should be matzliach. But most people, it doesn't go like that. The fellow comes to you, he knocks on your door, he says, look, I have over here, you'd be meshigah if you don't go into this. He says, look, I'd be meshigah if I don't go into this, but what can I do? I need a guarantee. Sometimes he says it in Yiddish, a guarantee. Right? Sometimes he says it in Hebrew, a tzarit guarantee. Right? Anyway, maybe Spanish, a guarantee. Whatever one you want, advice. Once you hear those words, you start running. You can run to the store to buy at the risk if you want. I don't mind. Right? But just you know you're in trouble. Because what does the word guarantee mean? The word guarantee means, he just told you like this. He said, I'm giving you $100,000. I'm getting it all back no matter what. That means no matter what happens to this investment, I get back the $100,000 pounds. I'm getting it back.
And now there's levels of this Rebbe. If he tells you, look, I want a guarantee on my money, so then, but not a guarantee on the profit, so that might be a Rebbe Rabban. Maybe not a Rebbe Rice, it's called Karev Le. Hefsid, excuse me, Karev Le, it's Chayav Rebachok, me Hefsid, it's a Gemara. If he says, I want, you know, listen, Rabid, I'm telling you it's Gedai to get in. He says, listen, Rabid, I dealt with you in the past. I want a guarantee on my money, plus I want a guarantee on 10% at least of the profit. You know what he just said, Rabbi Isaac? He just said, here's $100,000, you're vada getting back $110,000. That means there's no risk. That means that's ribis doibaisa. You won't come back in Chiyas HaMeisim. Very serious. It's no games. They're very, very serious. Now, there are ways out of this. There are ways. There is, because that's not my job today. My job is to tell you problems. Maybe in a minute I'll give you some solutions. But that's one thing we spoke about, B'shaitai. And again, that's one, the key word in ribis is guarantee. The second key word in ribis is liability. That one that doesn't have a Yiddish translation, really. But that's liability. That's a different word. What? Where is liability? So I'll tell you the case I spoke about last time. And now I'm going to give a little bit of eitzes. Last time I just spoke about the problem. This time I'm going to give a little bit of eitzes because people came to me and described to me a little bit the system that is over here also a little bit more. I'll give an example. A fellow comes back from Kailul and Yerushalayim and wherever, and he was learning, and now he doesn't have such a good credit rating. Okay, he's got good credit up there, and so do you, but he doesn't have such a good credit rating in the bank. Now he needs to take out a mortgage. He needs to take out a loan. So he goes to the bank, I tell him, no, what do you have to show for the bank? So he says, Ichababke learned ganz moyid when Ichabgeven in Eretz Yisrael. He tell him, moyid, nashu, mizik, and zahar, nishdu. What's us the pockets? He says, pocket, Ichabab is, actually, I need a loan to get back to the house. So he doesn't have so much good credit. Okay, so what do we do? So he said, they tell him, is there anybody that can help you out over here? So when I spoke about the Shaila B'Shaitai, I spoke about it in this case. His father comes into the bank. His father takes out the £500,000 mortgage, the loan, takes out the loan. So by the way, your first reaction is, oh, he's taking it out from Goyim. The bank is Goyim, there's no ribbis. Call to him, right? But you have to, in ribbis, you have to think slowly and you have to break things down. Go slow and break things down. I'm going to tell you a story. Story number one. I have a bill in my makolet. Makolet in English, what's makolet?
Grocery
store. I have a bill in the makolet. The bill is for $123. £123, sorry, everybody. I'll try. $123.
Shekel.
So what happens is that now you go to me, you say to me, listen, can I borrow from you $100? Can I borrow from you $100? Say, sure, no problem. So just do me a favor, whatever, don't pay me back, go pay my grocery bill. Okay? So the guy goes with a big simcha, he goes to the grocery store, he says, $123, I lent him $100, he's a good friend of mine, he did me a big favor. Ribbis makes sense, right? So he doesn't, that's about it. Everybody here understands that's ribbis. Yes, don't even know why I'm saying the case, it's so simple, right? So mamash pashit. Now why is that ribbis? I even paid the money to me, but the answer is pashit, because I benefited from this loan. You all understand that. I gave you $100, I got back $123 profit. Givaldi, even though it didn't come into my pocket, but there's no shayla ribbis. Nobody could argue, will argue, should argue. Now I'm going to tell you another story. Okay? Let's break down the first case. I go and I borrow money from my goyish friend. Right? My friend Peter. Peter lends me $100. I go now. Why did I borrow money from Peter? Because I have a friend, Zundel, that Peter doesn't know. Peter doesn't know Zundel. Peter knows me. So I say, and he needs $100. I say, here, you know what? Zundel, I'm going to borrow the $100. I borrow the $100 from Peter. I take the $100. I give it to Zundel. Givaldi. Now, Peter comes knocking on my door. He says, where's the money? Where's the money? I say, me? What do you mean? Gate to Zundel. Zundel? He's going to give you a Zundel. A Zundel. What do you mean? I don't know you at all, he says to Zundel. I don't know the Zundel character. I know you. Does everybody understand that that's bullshit? Bein al pi Torah, bein al pi logic, bein al pi everything in the world, that Peter only has one shaykhis. To whom is the key word, liability? To who is the liability? Not Zundel. There's two separate loans here. Zundel has to deal with the middleman, we'll call him Yankel, and Yankel, he has to deal with Peter. So simple, also, you don't even know why I'm saying it. Okay, now I'm going to tell you why I'm saying it. Now let's go back to the bank. So I go to the bank. I walk into the bank, I have no credit rating. I send in my tata. My tata walks into the bank. They know my father, Gnaldik. My father walks into the bank. He says, all right, look, I'll take out the loan. Okay, who's lending him? Goyim, Givaldi. They say, fine. Pater, here's $500,000. We want back $600,000 over the course of the next whatever years. Okay. I go to my son. I say to him, here, I don't want to hear from you anymore. Here's the $500,000. Good luck. Now you deal with it. You make the payments. You buy, make it straight, debit straight into your, I don't want to hear from this, right? Here's, he gives him such a kiss. He says, Tata, you gave me, help me, to, you gave birth to me, and Kami Yagiyas, like the Chinuch says, how much you helped me. Till now, even night, are you helping me? Right? The only thing is that, so the Shalas, who's not going to come back in Tchis and Mesa? Dad, the Zin, they're both not going to come back. They should be buried in the same Mesa Kvaris, because they're going to be there for a while. What's haste? What's going on here? Ribbis? What ribbis? Let's think. Again, the bank's name is Peter. Peter lent the money to Tata. The liability of the Tata is straight to the bank. They don't know Bichlal, your son. You lent your son a separate loan. A loan of $500,000. Very interesting. It's the exact same amount that the bank lent you. But the bank has nothing to do with your son. They don't know your son. They don't want to know your son. Your son is paying back your grocery bill now. Your grocery bill now is no longer a $500,000 grocery bill. Now it's become a $600,000 grocery bill. So look at this, Maradik. Your son borrowed from you $500,000, and how much is he paying back for you? $600,000. Thus is ribis deraisa bivatai. No one will argue on this. Nobody could argue on this. No one should argue on this. Oh, the only thing, and that's what I spoke about last time. Whoever remembers, this is just Nov Chazara, which is either a Graysa or I see some people are crying here. But okay. But there's, in the Maisa, the Metzias seems to be that there's a lot of, again, I'm telling you the Metzias that's over here, and also in America it's like this, is that a lot of times they'll say to the fellow, they'll say to him, okay, look, so we're not going to go and make the whole spiel with your father and this, that, but we want an Arif. We want a guarantor. And if they accept the guarantor, they accept the Arif, so then you're in business, quote unquote. And that's ready. Maybe now we have what to talk about. Because look, again, Shragi borrows the money now. I go into the bank and they're lending me the money. And now, it's from me to the bank. The bank is Goyim. I'm allowed to pay the Goyim ribis. Everything's good. Elamai, my father's a guarantor. And my father for 20 years is never going to hear about this, Bichlal, because I'm going to get in big trouble if my father hears that I need to go back to my father, the guarantor. So I'm going to pay everything. So then, Bichlal, that should be mutter. Okay. There's a problem. There's an entire Shulchan Aruch Yeridaya in Siman Kuf Ayin, a very difficult Shulchan Aruch. It's based on a Gemara that there's a concept known as an Orev Kablin. Orev Kablin means, and that's the Metzias nowadays in most of the banks in the world. Again, I'm not taking responsibility for every English bank. I only looked into a few. But it seems to be that in the bylaws of the bank, that they say that we don't want this business of having to go to the Zin, to Shragi. We don't want to take chance. We take the liberty, if you're giving us a guarantor, an Arif, that we are going to go straight to the guarantor. Okay? If we might be nice people and go straight to Shragi first. See if he has the money. But we do not have to take Shragi to court, and we do not have to go and fight with him. We don't have to go and foreclose on his property and this and that. If we see one time he's not paid, we're calling straight to you. What's that in Lundis? So the Shulchan Aruch says, you know what that's in Lundis? In Lundis, that's called that really they're, it's in Shtanta Zach, but really they're lending the money to dad. They're lending the money to dad. And Lundis, he's the one that they're the responsible, that's right. Siba, you're getting the money. So kivyachol, they lent the money to dad, and then it does the whole parash all over again. They're lending the money to dad. Dad lends the money to me. Now, nachamol, I'm paying off dad's grocery bill. And if you this, it would be a very, very serious problem. Now, there are ways out of this. Again, with the Heter Iska, that for sure there's ways out of this. Can't get involved in this right now. This time I brought documents, because last time the oil was upset with me. I came with problems and I bring documents. This time I actually have documents with me, English documents. But there's another way out of this, which I want to just to mention, and then we're going to go right into the next Nikuda. A very important Nikuda is that if you have what's called in Halacha a mashkoin toiv, then it's not so simple, everything I just said. Now, everyone's probably wondering, the house is a mashkoin toiv, which means, let me just explain. Over here, if you have a system of where the bank is first going to say, we're not going to the Arif, we're not going to go and bother the Arif, you know what we're going to do? We're going to foreclose on the house. So then, ready, now there's a very, very good svara, a very, very mistabitic svara to say that what are they doing over here? They're lending the money to me. Shragi's buying money. The mashkin gives them a stronghold in it, and he's kibyachal the ikkar arif. He's the ikkar siva of why I'm lending the money over here. He's the ikkar siva.
If you have this mashkin type, if the house, which is usually what the mortgage is based upon, is a mashkin type, and the bank is going to foreclose on the house before they go to the Arif, then everything I just said might be nullified. I say might, it's not simple. There's a lot of cheshbainis here in the bylaws of the bank. It really depends on the bank. In America, there are certain banks that bechlal their entire specialties to foreclose on houses. As the ganze, they have a special law office, and there are some banks, bechlal, they're totally not interested in the foreclosure. And they'll be fighting, and they'll be trying to get the money from the Arif and whatnot, etc. And then about you realize that that's not called a mashkin toif. This is something that has to be dealt with. I want to be ma'ayr the problem. That's one eitzah to get out of this issue. Okay. Another eitzah to get out of this issue, which is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant, and you see the shenkite of our Halakha Torah. And I have it over here. It's about 5 pages worth, if ever wants to see it afterward. Rav Moshe Zichron Levracha, in Chash Mishpat Beis Samach Gimel, a brilliant tshuva. It doesn't need my haskamba, but it's taka brilliance. You see the brilliance, and you see the gevaldikheit of our Halakha Torah. When something is worded in one direction, it's iser gomer. When something is done in the other direction, it's mutter gomer glat. He has what's called, he was mechadish, but it's just, once you hear it, it's just basic chachma. He was mechadish a concept known as a rent-to-lease contract. Basically, when you break it down, but it is like this, go back to our case. The father is going to go to the court, to the bank. Father rent takes out the money, takes out the loan. He borrows the $500,000, but that's our problem. Right? That's our problem. So here, we're going to change everything. You know, originally we wanted the father to give the money. He wants the son to have all the money and have all the headache and have all the... And that was the problem. So the Ramesh's patent does a brilliant thing. The father borrows the money and the father buys the house. And it's the father's house. Now that's obvious. That goes without saying. If the father buys the house and it's the father's house, there's no problem at all. That's for sure. And Daka, there's a lot of times that's the case. The father takes out all the money. The father buys the house. And he gives it to his son, but he makes his son pay him rent. There's nothing wrong with that. The father owns the house, it's on the father's name. I'm not talking about that case today, Rabbi Yisrael. I was talking about the case of where you took out the money, the father took out the money, and he gives the house to his kid. So now it's the son, so the loan still remains with me, and the kid has the house. So. But Rabbi Moshe creates a tremendous brilliance here. He says, look, the father will take out the money. The father borrows the $500,000. Now he buys the house. But we want to make a system over here whereby eventually this house goes into the rishus of the son. So he created a rental lease agreement, which basically, and it's, you'll see it's pages and pages over here, of the idea is that in every month there's going to be two payments, which in America for sure it's like this, basically follows a mortgage plan. It follows in the mortgage plan also. There's a principal that you pay, and there's an interest that you pay. Now, what Ramesh is brilliant, what he created over here was, I buy the house, I have $500,000, I took out the loan, now I buy a house, it's my house. Now I tell my son, okay, every month you're going to pay me two payments. Avada, the payments he's going to work out, they should be exactified to the mortgage amount that he has to be paying every single month. So let's say every single month he's paying $1,000, just to make my life easy. He's paying $1,000. So we tell the son like this, you're paying me $1,000 every single month. It's going to be $1,000, but you're paying me $1,000 every single month. So tell the son, the first $800 of that, $800 is rent, because you don't own anything at this point. In the first month, he doesn't own anything in the house. I own the whole house. $800 is rent. Okay. $200 of it, I'm giving fake numbers, obviously, but $200 of this is going to be for buying the house. And then slowly, slowly, over the course of all these months, he starts buying the house. Now, as it goes, as it continues, so eventually, let's say 3 years down the line, now the son already owns 10% of the house. Ah, now the son owns 10% of the house, so now the rent can't be $800 a month because I own 10% of the house. So now the rent will be $700, and then my buying power will be $300. And that's what Moshe does. Really, it's a little bit, it's not doable to follow a basic mortgage plan. One of the things Ramesha throws in is that the son, he's going to pay for the water and the utilities and all that. How's he going to do that? It's my house. He says, fine, that's rent. I put that in the rent. And it gets worked out. And what we just said was that over the course of the next 30 years, what basically happens is the son paid back the mortgage, the gamre, and he bought the house over the next 30 years. And then it's brilliant. It's absolute sheer gainess. What he did over here was he took the entire problem and pushed it to fix it up. Mamish gevaldik. That's one problem I wanted to discuss. There's another major problem, which again, I'm going to give a little bit maybe of an answer for it, but I just want to bring out the problem. And people just are not aware of this in Rivers. This is a major problem. Again, because what I'm about to say, the beauty of it is what I'm about to say is so fair that it's not even fair it should be asr. It's so fair, but it's mamish asr. The second I explain it slowly, you'll all say, of course it's asr. What happens? You have in a business, you have a partnership. You have two partners, you have Yankel, our friends again, Yankel and Zundel. Rabbi said, Yankel and Zundel have a business, right? They sell shtenders. Okay, they sell shtenders. So they need money, they need capital in the business. They don't have money. Now the business, sometimes the business itself can take out a loan, but a lot of times the bank doesn't want that. The bank wants to give a loan to a private person. The bank doesn't sign up on your business, they don't sign up on corporations, especially after the last 10 years. So the bank says, if you want to take out a loan, good. So this is something that's a constant in business. Each partner takes turns borrowing money from the bank. So let's say, for example, in the first 6 months of the year, so Yankel borrowed $50,000 from the bank, personal money. Now, personal money, why do I say personal? Because where's the liability? The bank doesn't know Zundel. Remember, the bank has nothing to do with it. Yankel came into the bank, borrowed $50,000. Now, he took that money and he threw it into the business. Right? He just took it, put it into the business. Okay. Now, the bank, nothing to do with Zundel. Now, everybody's like, in logic and in seichel and in Ehrlichkeit, as we would call it, right? Doesn't it make sense that Vada, now, when does the business start considering that they have profits? Only after the loan got paid back, obviously. Because, and not only that, I'm a tzaddik yisayt oylam, I am. Yankel went, I borrowed the money on my name, I put it into the business, so then obviously it goes without saying that I borrowed $50,000, they want back $60,000, so of course we're not going to consider this to be profit until the bank gets back their $60,000, which is so basic and so seichelik, everyone understands that, right? The only thing is that if you listen slowly, I just described Yerbis Deraisa, right? Again, slowly, because I borrowed $50,000, which means what? Now, the bank is my problem. Now, I just gave my partner how much? $25,000. I just gave my partner $25,000. Okay, I put in because half the business is mine, half the business is his. So I have 25. He has 25. Now, how much is my? I pay back my $25,000 to the bank. Good. I pay back my $5,000 extra to the bank because remember they want 60. Good. Now, my chavrus over here, Zundel, he pays me back $25,000. Remember, that's what's taking place in slow motion. He's paying me back $25,000, plus he's also paying back another $25 to the bank, plus he's giving $5 extra to the bank. And that's a major problem. And half the year, Zundel does it. Zundel borrows the money on his name, and then Zundel puts the money into the business. What does it mean he's putting the money into the business? It was a personal loan. So he took the money, he got a personal loan, personally lent it to his chavrusa, and now his chavrusa is paying back the money. That's ribbis deraisa. Now here, that's what I brought today. Here, every partnership must have what I'm talking about over here. I have a paper here, you can see it. It has a fancy English name. It's called, I give it my name in Hebrew, but it's an iska for deposit on new constructions. Now, I'll explain to you basically what it means. It means a regular heter iska over here is not going to work. And this is, I'm going to, mamish bekitzer, 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 because I want to go to the next topic. But bekitzer, bekitzer, the whole lungdis of a heter iska, the whole idea of a heter iska is that there is a tremendous risk factor. There's a possible risk factor. I don't want to say tremendous, but there's a possible risk factor in a heter iska. Which basically just means that we don't look at it as the person you gave your money, you're vada getting it back. If you're vada getting your money back, so then there's no risk. Heter iska basically means that I lend you money, but now don't say the word lend. I'm investing with you money. And now what's taking place is that you are very confident that you're going to get back your money. Why? Because they make certain tnayim that in order for him to prove that there was a problem and that the investment went bad, he's going to have to take shvuas and this and that. So nobody wants to do that. That's what's called in halacha a pigeon shvua. So in the Megillah we say, look, instead of taking a shvua, are you willing that you'll trust me if I give you $10,000? So I borrowed from you $100,000. Technically, yeah, it's an investment and I'm not liable to you. And if I would bring Edim or if I would take a shvua, you would have to believe me. But if you don't want to go through the hassle, I'm willing to sell you the shvua. I'm willing that you don't have to take a shvua and prove it to me if you give me $10,000. Which both of them feel pretty much covered. He knows that probably the other guy's not going to take a shvua, he's not going to bring Edim, and he won't be able to prove that the investment went sour, so I'm pretty much covered and it's not called business. Okay. The problem is in a partnership, it ain't going to go. Because in a partnership, I know what went on in the partnership. So I borrowed $25,000 from my partner, he put it into my pocket, which is in the partnership, so I know now if the partnership had problems. So So then, says the Gaon Rav Moshe, you can't go and ask him to take a shvua to tell us that the investment went sour. You know God's good that the investment went sour. So you won't be able to ask him for money. So the chap of this Heter Iskishtar over here that I have is that basically you don't just buy in a Heter Iskishtar, you don't just become a partner with him in this Iska. You become a partner with him in all other investments that he has, and the least you know about that, the better. And even if he doesn't have it, you don't have to know that he doesn't have it. If he tells you explicitly, I don't have any other investments, you're in trouble. But that would be the Eitza. And Mr. Shem, I really want to go right there, but you see already that in the world of Ribbis, you see one thing. You see that what we thought was fair and that was in the Welt, in the Goyish Welt, would be considered fair business, whatever, Gewaltig, what's the Shaila, normal, right? So that there could be major, major, tremendous Ribbis problems, major Shailas. Actually, you could even look at the opposite. Somebody was asking me, you see, in our Torah de Kasechel, somebody was asking me about a bank and Heter Iskas, and he says the whole thing is a problem, Heter Iskas in the bank, and that's more to get in Eretz Yisrael, with the banks of Jewish own. I told him I totally disagree with him. You know, banks, the one place where I feel that the Heter Iska is definitely acceptable is in a bank. Well, Dafka in a bank, it's most acceptable. What's the pshat? What do you mean? It's totally illogical that the bank is ever going to go and do any business with shluyas and this and that. But you know, Rabbi Say, the banks have books this thick about their bylaws, laws and laws and laws and laws and laws and laws, and you don't know any of those laws. And when you come and you sign on the bank and to get a mortgage or to get a loan or whatever, to make an account that you're lending money to the bank, you sign your name and you accept all the tnayim of all those bylaws. So here's the one case where everyone says that you have to understand the Heter Iska if you use it. I think by a bank, you don't even have to understand the Heter Iska if you use it. Because just like you know that when you go into a bank, there's 300,000 other bylaws that you don't understand. So there's another bylaw. It's a bylaw of Heter Iska that you also don't understand. And that's also acceptable because it's a normal way of doing business. With a little bit of the understanding of the sugya, so things can change. So this is Lamaisa part one, the first inyan. There's a lot of inyanim, and I want to touch on little bits of each of the inyanim. Bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah, everybody here knows what a bar mitzvah is, a person who has the rights to buy. I'm just going to tell you one case, just to show you where, you know, sometimes a person can think one way, and it's from Fakir Mamish. One bar mitzvah case I had recently, a few weeks ago, was somebody was Mamish a proper bar mitzvah. He was above a machsan. I say machsan, like a garage, not a really
storeroom.
A storeroom in Eretz Yisrael is very common. So somebody was selling a storeroom in Eretz Yisrael. He was selling a store. So he lived upstairs. So he told the person, I'm a bar mitzvah. I live upstairs. And mamash, it's right under my house. It would be gewaldig for me. I could build a staircase in there. Say, I've been a bar mitzvah. There was somebody on the top floor. They died. No, I'm a bar mitzvah. He says, why are you a bar mitzvah? So he says, because I'm in the building for more years than he is and whatever. Doesn't sound much of a bar mitzvah, right? But that's what he time. But I said, by default, he doesn't realize he's a bar mitzvah for a much better reason. You know, he's a bar mitzvah because the laws, at least in Eretz Yisrael, I just want to show you when you have a little bit of the Chachmas HaTorah, the law in Eretz Yisrael says that, you know, who owns the floor, the karka of the apartment building? Everyone in the building. That's the law in Eretz Yisrael. Everybody in the building, let's say there's 20 apartments in the building, so who owns the floor? Meaning the ground underneath the building. Who owns the ad tahoyim? Who owns the tahoyim? So the answer is the tahoyim is owned by everyone in the building, which means that I own right underneath, equally jointly, I own right underneath this machsan. So I'm mamash bar mitzvah. The person on the top floor is also a mamash bar mitzvah. It doesn't matter if he's here for years. It doesn't matter. He's just as much a bar mitzvah as the person which is right. Now you have to get involved. Maybe he's a double bar mitzvah because I own on top. And I own on the bottom. So maybe I'm a double bar mitzvah. Right? What's fair? Right. Oh, avada. Rabbi said, the time of the krah in bar mitzvah is one thing. But then there's the etzim halachas. And the etzim halachas in kufay and hay, it's not like that. Avada, it's now we try and figure out who's the closest one. I'll just give you a dukma, Rabbi said. Give another example. Somebody in renting, the halacha is that there's a bar mitzvah even in renting. If you're renting, so then the owner of the apartment has to give you first dibs. He has to give you the first ability to buy if you're a renter by him. So somebody came to me with very tiniest that he was renting for years, and the landlord went and sold it. He went and sold it out from, you know, without selling it to him first. And he was renting. And he was upset. Now, the demesis in this case is a little bit complicated. a buyer has a right to say that renter is a difficult person, and that's not, I have a right not to sell to him if I feel he's a difficult person. He had a lot of experience to say he was a difficult person. But over here, it was a default. There was a bit, he didn't even have a contract that he was renting. The lease was up. And the only time that you're considered a renter, a bar mitzvah, is if you have a rental contract, that right now you are renting. You have a rental contract. You're renting. Here, they just never, you know, renewed the contract, and everything just went and went and went. So Abielov, it wasn't even a bar mitzvah. Again, I'm just showing you with one nuance, things can change. I can give another example. Somebody just now, actually recently, he asked me that, what do I think about this? Yes, just in question, what do I think? He went and he found somebody a house. In other words, somebody, he told somebody, you know, such and such is, I think, interested in selling his house. And, you know, it's good because I know you're looking for a house over here. It went through. So he came to me afterward and he said to him, you have to pay me. You have to become a real estate agent. So he said to him, no, you're not a licensed real estate agent. And whatever, he sent him a cake. He sent him a very nice cake. No, it had like chocolate on it. Okay? So he asked me, what do I think? What do I think? I think he'll come back like a chihuahua. A chihuahua's a little dog, a little small one. That's Kenei v'Gemura. There's halacha in Chayshin Mishpat known as a yoyrid. A yoyrid is that even if you're not a professional, and even if you weren't considered a poyul or whatnot, but yemigat hanah, is this a hanah that people pay for?
Yeah.
So, no. So you want to know, does he have to pay the amount of a chash of a real estate agent and whatever he charges 2% of your mamash chash of her, and if you're just starting out, you charge 1% or whatever. I don't know. So he would have to get the lowest amount that a real estate agent would get, but the gat hanah, yeah, you have to pay for hanah. There's nothing free. That's a gemara, but mitzvah. That's a yoyer, that's hanah. You have to pay. There's no shy. Told me, what was the cheshbin, why not? He says, no, it's not true, because in the Goyish court, you wouldn't be able to get a penny for it. Right, exactly. That's why a person that would say such a line is ain loy chelik b'toyrus moishe. Now you could argue. You want to argue with me in halacha? We can find out in halacha. But never say in the goyish court he wouldn't get a penny. Ain loy chelik b'toyrus moishe. Okay, let me get invited.
You need to say
workers. I'm sorry. I'll answer after. It's time bound. Last time I spoke, I remember the last thing I said here. This is when I spoke about business. Probably going back about 3-4 years, maybe even more. Is I spoke about a marufia. Marufia sounds like a scary word. Marufia is actually an Arabic word, according to some Rishonim. It means that luring away, it's an Arabic terminology, when you lure away a client. It's related to the concept of ani, hapech b'charara. Basically, the concept is that I try and get somebody else's client away. Now, if you know anything about marketing nowadays, this is what's going on. Right? That is what I don't want to say amount the percentages of businesses, but this is what's going on, is that they have people that their entire job is to be luring away clients, you know, calling up and saying, don't go with them, come to me. Go, how do I know this? I'm not a part of the business world, but I get 40 or 50 phone calls a day. Change cell phone companies to this one, change your gas to this one, tell this one, change your phone. I tell the people, I don't even have a phone, I'm on my friend's phone, leave me alone. This is what's going on in the world today, right? Marketing, I think they call it, right? And in, by the Goyim, This is a mitzvah. Forget, this is mamish, this is a proper management, the mitzvah. Now, I must tell you, last time I was very, very machmir. I mean machmir, I said the halacha, I said the concept. Just the emphasis is that I was a little bit, I don't know, irresponsible. But I didn't realize to what extent it was a part of our society. And now, 4 or 5 years later, it's mamish, that's the whole society. So this time I'm going to say a few of the coolers. Because simply last time I said Allah the Chomer, that basically what this halacha says, it's born in Chayshim Mishwa, is that you're not allowed to be luring away someone else's client. Shulchan Aruch says you can't go and try and get his client away from him. And it's even a guy. Which means a lot of the halachas that we're going to talk about are about is not in the gay guy. But here, if you know that he has a goyish client who's a steady client for years, and you go and you try and undercut him and this and that, and you, not that he approached you, but that you're approaching him and trying to get his client, so Shulchan Aruch said, that's marufia. And that's the Shomar says it's awesome. You're not allowed to do that. I don't know, for Sephardi, it's a major problem. You're not allowed to do that. The Ramah says, he brings down a machlekes, that maybe the minig is that some are makel on Marufi nowadays. What's the law of this? Why, how can you make on this? You're taking away his client. Mechaz Yitzchak in one tshuva, he explains, I explained a little bit of Derek that the idea is that nowadays, and nowadays you can really appreciate the Nevuah of the Mechaz Yitzchak. When he said it, I don't know if we understand it a lot better than him. That's the world that we live in. He says, what are you going to do? You're going to go and not allow one Jew to lure away another client from another Jew. He says, so what's going to help? What's going to help? Some other guy is going to come and chop the client. Now, when the Minchas Yitzchak said it, I don't know the extent of how much that was at a site. In our society, that is what the entire, basically, the ganze society is based upon, is marketing, is trying to get Yenim's client. So even if I don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. That's the taina. I must tell you that the sack of the poiskim is that the Ahir Shemayim doesn't do it. Ahir Shemayim doesn't do it. I'll tell you some kulas. One kula is if he approaches you, then for sure it's okay. Okay, that's one thing. Another chumra is I said, let's say it's a very, very Jewish-based business. Like, catering, something Judaic, something that's very Jewish-based. Then you sort of lost that taina. It's not going to be another guy that hops away the client. It's only a Jewish type of business. You have a tzitzis factor, I don't know. Tzitzis, you have a supplier of tzitzis, and you know, that's a Jewish-based type of an idea, this, that. So now, there would be taker problem, marufia. Be a problem. Again, it's at least a shaila that a person has to ask. It's at least a shaila. You shouldn't just think I'm a shrewd businessman. It's a shaila. It's a zecher, a shaila. Somebody has to ask such a shaila. Now, Maisa, in workers, the Rambam in Zayin Yud Gimel, excuse me, in Yud Gimel Zayin, in Skiris Payal, the Rambam says a lashon which is phenomenal. He says every worker, every payal, there's a lacha for workers and there's a lacha for the balabait, for the employer. Every worker, every employee has to be mamish erlich and give it his best. The Maisha Zecharin Levracha even has a tshuva, a person is not allowed. The Shulchan Aruch talks about this. He's not allowed to stay up late nights. He's not allowed, the Shulchan Aruch says, to take a second job. You have to give it your best in your job. That's the locha. That's not like, you know, I'm a loyal worker. A person thinks he's a loyal worker. You're a yid. You're a yid. You have a higher authority to answer to. You have to be awake. The Rambam that gives you all types of things, you're not supposed to even overeat so that you shouldn't have the next day, you shouldn't have to have issues and whatnot. You have to be an erlich worker thinking how I'm going to be. But then the Rambam says a davar nifla. He says, just like we find by Yankiv HaTzadik. Now, to my knowledge in Rambam, I'm not going to Rambam, I do not know anywhere else in Sefer Rambam that he calls one of the opposite tzadik. I don't say Avram HaTzadik anywhere. Came out to my knowledge. You'll check it up on your Oitzer Hashanah. Poiskims and doesn't. But I'm pretty sure, to my limited knowledge in Rambam, it doesn't say anywhere Avram Atzadik Yitzchak. Avram Kevenek and Groysa Tzadik. Don't think he wasn't. It doesn't say this one. It kind of says in one place that Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, was the biggest Tzadik that ever lived. It doesn't call Moshe Tzadik either. Right? So it calls him Yankiv Tzadik. And what does he write? Sharei Yankiv Tzadik was arbit mikol koychai, and it brings the pasuk that he said to Lava, and I worked so hard, and I didn't genuvi laila does, and even though he tried to trick me, and this and that. So everyone has to be like Yankiv Tzadik. You know, when I read this Rambam the first time, Mechav Gahat Hashayla, was Meruftim Yankiv Tzadik. You're calling him Yankiv Tzadik. It's like it's like Vinishkin Tzadik. You admit that buses in no other place does he call him Yankiv Tzadik. Over here, he calls him Yankiv Tzadik, and Kuklich over here, you're telling me that you have to work as hard as Yankiv Tzadik. Kuklich, just because we see it, Yankiv Tzadik, he's a Tzadik, you know why? Because he works so hard, he's a big Tzadik. I'm not such a big Tzadik like Yankiv. So what's the thing over here? You know what it says over here? It says that no, that's the Rambam saying, Tzakaloch, you have to be a Tzadik when it comes to business. You have to be an Erlecha Poyel, you have to be an Erlecha employee, and you have to be a Tzadik. He's basking Allah the Meisen. And he's not saying that you can't come and tell me, oh, but Yankiv Tzadik, right. You know why he's called a Tzadik? Because he gave it everything in business. When he was an employee, he worked at a site, he was not a ganif, he didn't take what wasn't his, he gave it from the first second he came in on time, and he left on time. That's why he's a Tzadik, and you have to be a Tzadik. The halachas of the employee, a general rule, the Chafetz Chaim and Avos Chesed, he writes that how important it is that things have to be spoken out beforehand. The Chafetz Chaim writes these kind of places. If you're not going to speak out things beforehand, there's going to be fights at the end. So it has to be spoken out. When it's not spoken out, the basic idea is that Tznayim go kafi minigam adina. That's where Takadim and the Malchusa plays a role. That if something wasn't spoken out, and you want to know what's accepted norm, the accepted norm of a lunch break, the accepted norm of this. So whatever wasn't spoken out, then we take on whatever's not stipulated, goes kafi the regular minigam adina. That's the pashtis, what it says in Chesh Mishpah, in Chesh Mishpah, in Tzimachin Lamed Aleph. That is the pashtis. That's the pashtis. Legabe firing a worker, legabe firing. So if you fire a worker without cause, I don't know, again, from the Goyish laws, and there's different countries with different laws, but if you fire him without cause, in halacha, it's a very serious thing. In halacha, you still have to pay him. You have to pay him kipayel batel. You don't have to pay him, if you have no cause, then you fire him. You have to pay him like a kipayel batel. If he gets a job miyad, so then maybe you don't have to pay him, but he can have tarayness. He can have tainess, and tainess is not a good thing. Another example, somebody came to me a few months ago, he had just hired somebody, and then he found out that a day later that his nephew needed a job. So he fired him. I hired him, he never started working, etc. So this lemaisa, the paiskim discussed this case, and they say you're not allowed to fire him. He's not allowed to fire him. And if he even gave up a different job, so then you might be a garmi, you might even have to pay him. It's not so simple. In this case, it's a little bit less because he didn't start working. So Taka, it's true, you might only be able to have taroimus on him and you might have to pay him as a pilot bottle, but if you gave up something else, you know, this is very negay. You call somebody and he gave up a job as a result of you, that might be called a garmi. Very, very serious halachas. Another halacha, which people Taka don't realize, if he made a kinyan, right? That once he made a kinyan, so then Taka, you won't be able to fire him. Now, that's generally the halachas. Again, obviously, there's more. The emphasis is a whole other realm of halachas of quitting. You know, people know that I'm allowed to. They know Kili Bnei Yisrael Avadim. If Avadim Avadim, so a person knows he's allowed to quit. An employee knows that I'm allowed to quit. I'm allowed to quit my job because Li Bnei Yisrael Avadim and not Avadim Avadim. It's not in every case, Rabbi Yisai. It's not so simple. If you quit, then it's going to cause the Baal Abbas. The employer, it's going to cause him a loss. You decide. The fetus, you can go and quit in the middle of the chasana. You know, he's in the band. He decides in the middle of the chasana, I quit. I'm going to kail. Kultuf. And he just stops in the middle of the chasana. Avadi can't do that. There's no shayla. Avadi's no shayla. Now, when, where, what? Avadi, you have to ask a shayla. I know one person. He took into his. He learned Gemara about Messiah, Dafyod. He became a great Talmud Chacham. He can quit whenever he wants. And he didn't like the boss, and he quit. And it caused the boss a tremendous hefset, right? And his vade over on the salacha, and his vade is a very serious shayla. Very, very serious shayla. Baltolin is a ganza shir, but I want to just bring out shaylas that are negeya, taka, that unknown business halachas. Because, you know, like we think, wow, that's a mitzvah. I pay my work on time. It's not that it's just a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, but you're metikin schara. You're not over on two lavim. A lav of like Sulin is a lav, like Saba is a lav. There's a pasuk in Nach that's also you get your eye on that. Like Soymar, so I would say a few cases over here. Number one, you're doing a mitzvah. Very important to know that the Kaf HaChayim in Hilchos Shabbos, he tells about a person who's getting a haircut. Just what happens in the seichel of the Kaf HaChayim. Fellow getting a haircut, he says he was just mekayim 14 mitzvahs. 14 mitzvahs. Right, what 14 mitzvahs is Mekayim when he's getting a haircut? It's like he goes through 7, then he's telling the barber, be careful with the pay, be careful with the zakin. So that's already right there, 7. And then he writes, and of course you're going to pay the barber, you're going to pay him, but you're going to get a mitzvah for that. And you're not going to be over on like Sullen, on not holding back his wages, and you're not going to be over on like Savai. Meridik, that's how he even thought. The Chafetz Chaim was one time in a cab with his Eidim, Mendel Zatz, a very famous story. It's interesting, it's brought down in one place different than in a different place, but the way I saw it brought down was that Mendel Zaks took out the money and paid the cab driver. So he paid the cab driver before they left, before they were in the middle of the ride. So Chafetz Chaim told him, it's brought down different ways, I'll tell you the nafkaminas that come out, but the Chafetz Chaim said to him, now, what a shad. First of all, you paid him, you didn't have any kavana. You know that you just from a kaim and mitzvah deraisa, but you met it in Sar, just down, took the money out of the back and you gave the money. And second of all, you might not have even got the mitzvah. That's how I saw the story of the Sefer brought it down. The Rosh Tzion, he brings it down the halacha lemaisa. He says, you might not have even got the mitzvah. So why? Because you're not chayav to pay him the money until the end, until he finishes the job. The cab driver until he finishes the job. The barber until he finishes the job. So when you're paying him in the middle, so now it's true. When it's going to come out that he finishes the haircut, so now this, you know, you don't have to pay. But you didn't get the mitzvah. And Shabbat, they weren't over, but you didn't get the mitzvah. So chaval, if you pay him at the end, so now, number one, you get the mitzvah deraisa, but also, very importantly, mitzvah svichus kavana. But what I added not much more from that is this, it's a meridik, a mamish, again, when your entire attitude to chayshin mishpat in business is the right thing to do, and etc., right? So then, you know, Asaf pays his workers, I pay my workers. But there's a very big difference. When you pay your workers, it becomes a mitzvah deraisa of the highest nature. And the Arizal, the Hedik Arizal, one time they say in the story that the Arizal didn't have a mincha because he owed someone money. And the halacha of Baltolin is that if you work during the day, you have to pay him by shkia. If you work by Nach, you have to pay him by a lutz. And if not, you're over on this deraisa. Unless, we'll see in a moment, maybe if it's mechila or whatnot. Grada, what happens if he works by Nashmashis? So I said to Shalter Chaim, can he ask you? The Chavetz Chaim and Abbas Chesed talks about you paying by Nashmashis, right? So is it night? Is it day? Is it night? Chaim, can he ask you? Wrote back, Chayiv l'shalem miyad. You have to pay him miyad. You have to pay him miyad on the spot. Because maybe it's day, maybe it's night, maybe it's day. You have to pay him miyad. It's very serious. So the Arizal was right before Mencha, and then he realized that he hadn't paid a worker. He's brought down all the Svarim that talk about Batalin, so it must be Epsik Abayt Demais. The Emissar Chaim Vital brings it also, I think. And he didn't know what to do because he hadn't paid his worker. Now, the halacha is that you're not mechuyev to borrow money. If you don't have money, you're not oivrim Batalin. That's the halacha. You're not oivrim Batalin. If you don't have money, you're not oivrim. So you're not even mechuyev to go and borrow money. Now, if it's a very simple thing to borrow money, so that there are some poskim that say maybe you are mechuyev to borrow, but if it's something that's not easy, if you don't have money, you're not oivrim Batalin. Okay. The Arizal realized he owed money and he didn't have money. So he went around trying to find somebody to lend him the money. To lend the money so that he could pay back the worker. Now the way I saw the story is that he took a missed mincha. Missed mincha and he had to daven Meir of Tashlumim and whatnot. And the shaila is, what's the pshat in the Arizal? What's the pshat? That you're not mechuyev to borrow money. And he lost mincha for that. So if you would have asked me, that would be the example of what I would say. That look, you don't have money. And in this case, you're not going to be mechuyev to borrow money. Because the maisa, you're going to lose the mincha. So I don't know the pshat in the Arizal. But the pasuk says, Eilav noise is nafsha. This fellow worked for you. Why did he work for you? Because he's such a nice person. He works for you because he has a mishpacha, he has a parnasa. And he looks to you he looks to you that he's going to make his salary, he's going to make his money. So I wonder, when a person, Ayid, he comes to Davin, he comes to Davin Amincha, the Eilof Unoise is Nafsha. And he looks up to the Bashef and he says, Eibishta, please give me this, give me this. Maybe the Arizal held us the Chastira. What's a Shaykh to Davin? I'm going to go and Davin Mincha. Eilof Unoise is Nafsha. And this person, he's over here saying, Eilof Unoise is Nafsha. See how serious the Al-Khazal gave this severity. The Chavetz Chaim says something phenomenal. He says, by children, this is also batalim. What's meant does? And Reb Moshe Zichron Levracha says it's worse by children. That means, you tell a child, do me a favor, go and do this and this and this, right? And I'll give you £10. Right? So now, the halacha is much, much more serious. Because if I have a regular worker, and I tell him, look, you know what? Look, I don't have the money today. I can pay you tomorrow. So then the halacha is like that. You didn't get the mitzvah deraisa of b'yom titin schar. But if he's maskim, you're not over. If he's masking me, not over. You didn't get the mitzvah. It's kedai to get the money. It's kedai to get the money. If you have a barber and whatnot, and it's a matter of just getting from somebody 25 shekel and 10 pounds at the barber and 10 pounds or something that you can pay the worker on time, it's kedai to pay the worker on time. Sometimes you don't have change. So you have a 100-pound note. So you say to the barber, look, I'll just pay you tomorrow. So the barber's going to say, yeah, but he's enough. Say that was enough gemina. You're a big enough gemina. If you would have paid him today, you get the mitzvah deraisa. It's true, you're not over because he was talking Michael. But you didn't get the mitzvah deraisa. No? So Maisa, the children. So the child, you say to the child, babysitter. Well, the babysitter, 11-year-old girl, she comes to the house, right? So 11-year-old girl, you tell her, okay, £10, you pay her £10 for the babysitting and whatnot. You tell her, I don't have the money, I'll give you tomorrow night, right? So the Chavetz Chaim is very serious. Ketanim alav b'nei mechilin. The children can't be Michael. Yeah. So who's so now you have a major problem. So now maybe you're over about Tolan. Maybe you're over about Tolan. That's so clear. The lashon of the Chavetz Chaim and Avos Chesed is mashmash that you're over about Tolan. I wonder out loud, maybe if there's I don't know. I sent a shaila to Chaim Kivyevsky that I'm afraid to say in public, but I'm going to say it. I sent it. Sometimes you tell a child, if you clean up your room, I'll give you a candy. Now, the Chavetz Chaim said that this Baal Tolan even on less than a Shabbat Puta. I hope all the children should not be listening now. The Chavetz Chaim said that there's even Baal Tolan even on less than a Shabbat Puta. Mamtak, a little candy, less than a Shabbat Puta. I don't know. You tell the child, you clean up your room, you get a candy. Yeah? So, what happens? Afterward, you forget about the candy. He doesn't forget about the candy, but you forget about the candy. Right? So, I sent him to Shaila, your friend Baal Tolan, and he wrote, Bivadai. I tell you, there's a tremendous chiddush in this. Because pashtus, when you're telling a child to clean up a room, you're not hiring him to clean up a room. You're giving him an incentive. Right? That's why I sent to Shiloh. Expecting to get back the answer of, nah, avadanisht. That's too extreme. What answer did we get back? Bivadai. So I don't know. You have to know. Everybody says, so I'll tell them. I'll say it's serious. Our Shem Mishpat works with different rules. Our concept works. You know, they say from the Belzer that he was makbid even to pay Goyim. Of course, that's Kiddush Hashem. You should pay him on time, etc. But he was makbid Gomer because Shitas HaRambam is talking that there's Baltolin even to Goyim. The embassy is that when I asked the Shatter of Eliashim, he said the Shulchan Aruch brings this nish, the Zayim Zayim don't pass him like that. But it's the concept, the concept Zikr, that the word Tzadikim, that we're talking makbid on this, there's no Shaila. The Maisa, the. I tell you a very big Shaila that I had, where if a person with no Choshen Mishpat, if he doesn't know Choshen Mishpat, he would Zikr say one way. Once he knows Choshen Mishpat, he thinks differently. You have two workers, okay? One of them you owed money from yesterday, okay? One of them, you owe money today. You only have, yesterday you didn't have money. You didn't have money, and what could you do? Today you have money. Yeah? So is there any, you ask any guy out there, what's the ethical, erlicha, right thing to do? I don't think there's a guy out there, except for a non-ethical, erlicha guy, but if, I don't think there's one person out there, if you'd ask him the shayla, he would say, of course, what's the shayla? First you pay the first guy, you know, Rishon, he'll tell you, go to Rashi and Chumash, right? First you pay the first guy, and then you pay the second guy. He got it wrong. Because the halacha is that Baltalin, once you were over on Baltalin, or if you had a heter on Baltalin, let's say he was Moichel, or let's say Pasha was over on Baltalin. So now, the next day, you don't get a mitzvah anymore, but you're not over on Baltalin anymore. You're not over on Baltalin. You might be over on something else, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, but you're not over on Baltalin. This second guy, you know, the first day was a cab driver, the second day was a barber. Yeah? So the barber on the second day, if I don't pay him today, I'm over on Baltalin. So what's the halacha? You gotta pay the second guy first. Erlich, vada, Arshashin Mishpat, but it's Halik. Halik. It's not, it doesn't work. You have in front of you two people you owe money. One of them you owe money because he worked for you. He was a barber, he was a taxi driver, he was a toyo, he worked for you. Then you have to pay for merchandise. Merchandise, you bought an item that you haven't paid for. So, and the item you bought long ago. You bought the item long ago. What do you say in that case? So, the halacha is, there's no baltalin on merchandise, on purchases. Avada is an avera. You have to pay your purchases. Avada is gzeila, or not. But if you ask somebody, I have only 100 pounds. Should I pay for the purchase? Or should I pay for the schiris, the job, the rent, or whatever that I have to pay? So the halacha is, that is baltalin. That is no baltalin. So you should have to pay the baltalin first. It's like umtais. Somebody asked me in a rental contract. Most of our rental contracts nowadays, we pay at the beginning of the month. We pay at the beginning. I think that's the derech mishtam in England too. And I have to sell zichrazei. They don't pay at the end. In halacha, it was nishtazeh. In halacha, it's ain't l'shir yourself a b'sayif. So you're not going to have to pay until the end. That's how it goes in halacha. But in the metzias nowadays, you have to pay for the rent at the beginning of the month. So the person told me that, it's very, very difficult for him to pay on the first day of the month. But he'll give you, he'll get the mitzvah deraisa. The baladir, he said, isn't so makbid. He's not going to be so makbid. He doesn't care if it comes the first day, the second day, the third day. But if it's a shayla of getting the mitzvah deraisa of b'yoyim etitin scharay, so then he'll do it. I'm not sure if you get b'yoyim etitin scharay here. Because since be'etzim, al pitoyer, the concept of b'yoyim etitin scharay is only ein l'schiris el basayif. So then it's true that if after 30 days you don't pay, you'll be over b'adal. But on the first day, it's considered more of a purchasing. And the emes is that you have to pay. If you don't pay, you'll be a grand gezel, right? But if he's moichel, you're not going to be getting the mitzvah deraisa of b'yom mitit and sar. This is the kind of thing that a person has to realize, it's not based on our logic. It's not based on our logic. It's based on 428 simanim of Eilika Shulchan Aruch. And I'll be beside, what about a check? Did you get the mitzvah deraisa paying with a check? Again, there mechila, it's a mekubal dikazach that people pay with checks. And he expects to get a pay. So it's true, it's considered a mechila. You accept it and you're not going to be over on Baltol. Good. But did you get the mitzvah deraisa of b'yoyim etitin schar if you pay with a check? So I asked the shalat of the Yashiv, but it's not fair to say the answer here. The Yashiv said, in Eretz Yisrael, yes. Because in Eretz Yisrael, a check is money. A check is cash, you can take the check and you can walk into the store, you can pay the makolet, you can pay this, the check comes around and then you get it back finally. They get a check, right? But in England, in Chutzlar, I don't know if it's like that. I don't think it's like that. So even if he's Michael, I'll give you another example. A babysitter. You're going to go and pay a babysitter with a check? I think you're over on b'yoyim etitin schar. You have a babysitter, a 14-year-old babysitter. She comes at night. You have to knock on her door 10 minutes before Alois. Right? Here's the cash. Because you give her a check. Since it's not makubal to pay with a check. I'll tell you even worse. The halacha is you're not over on baltalin unless there's a tefiyah. Unless they come to you and say, you know, where's the money? Well, you're not over, unless they're Tevea, you're not over about Tala. But says the Chafetz Chaim, let's say they're not being Tevea because they're embarrassed. Raisa, a 14-year-old girl, a babysitter, you know, she's embarrassed to ask for the money. If you say, here's the money, she'll take the money. If you don't ask for the money, she's not going to say anything. Now, you might ask her, listen, I don't have the money tonight, can I give you tomorrow? Vada, if you would have given her today, you get the mitzvah. If she says yes, even though she's embarrassed, I asked her, well, yeah, once he said, well, the mice, she said yes, and it's Ram Shabbalay bin Adar. So if she says yes, you don't have to pay me. Maisa, that's Ram Shabbalay, even if she is embarrassed, that's allowed. But you have to, if she doesn't tevei you, you can't say, well, she wasn't teveya. She wasn't teveya. It's not enough. You have to answer up to a higher authority. I'll be messiah with the words of the Halakha Smag. He wrote this over 800 years ago. Said that we have to be erlich in business, what the Torah calls erlich. Because chalil v'chas, if we're ganovim, and chas v'shalom, if we're gneivus das, and if goyim, and whatnot, so then when it's going to come to geula, so they're all going to be waiting. All the goyim, they're going to say, Kadosh Baruch Hu was goyil, he was goyil. And if they're going to see chalil v'chas, a band of ganovim and thieves, they say, what, for this? So Smag wrote this 800 years ago, how much more so in our time. See in the Mishpat Ibadah, we should all be zeicher to the what Chazal tell us, that when we have erlichkeit in business, with that tzchus will be nifta.
Amen. Amen.